It's great to be part of a community, especially a vibrant one like the one that surrounds Silverlight. Today, we take you on a tour of some of the latest and greatest information from the Silverlight community, coming up on the Sparkling Client podcast.
Hello, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Welcome to the Sparkling Client podcast. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. It's meant for developers and designers who are interested in making the next generation of great-looking web applications. This week, we're going to look at some of the latest Silverlight information. Eric, what's new from the Silverlight community?
Well, first, just a real quick reminder. If you are listening to this podcast on an iPod, one of the great things you can do is that you can go to the iPod, hit that center button a couple of times, you will see the show notes, and then you can get at the Shrinkster addresses right there. So you can read them along with us, or if you're at a computer, you can look up those addresses really quickly and follow them along. There is lots of stuff going on in the community. The great thing about the Silverlight community is that it's really this group of self-starters, all these people who are really excited about Silverlight. And guess what? They don't just talk about it, or they don't just read about it, or they don't just passively consume, but rather they go out and they actually create new and interesting content around Silverlight, explaining Silverlight, mainly showing people the tips and the tricks to get Silverlight stuff right. Because, to be honest, Silverlight stuff is pretty clear, it's pretty intuitive, but where there are problems, it's always helpful to have other people who have gone there before, and I think that is part of what makes the Silverlight community so great. The first resource that anybody interested in Silverlight would go to would be silverlight.net. I mean, we've talked about it before and other people mention it, but the thing about silverlight.net is it is the primary Silverlight site. There are tons of great resources. The getting started resources, the resources for telling you what tools to install, the entire tool chain to install to be able to execute Silverlight, that stuff is up there on the silverlight.net stuff. So it's absolutely critical that you go there if you're interested in learning about Silverlight. And number two on my list is the Silverlight Cream site. So Dave Campbell actually puts this together, and what he does is he runs it, and then the Silverlight Cream is at silverlightcream.com, or you can go to shrinkster.com/WIR. He finds the cream of the crop, the best Silverlight resources. He puts them all together, and then he posts it just about once a day. And it's pretty tremendous. This blog is sort of a sign of the exciting things that are happening in the Silverlight community. What's happening is we are getting more and more, and in my opinion, better and better articles from the community. And most of the time, they go through Dave. So it is a great place to sort of sit back, watch, and see what's happening in the community. Sort of a must-do sort of place. And in fact, the resources that we're going to be talking about today, all of them, or nearly all of them, have come from the Silverlight Cream site. So if you want to go to the source, you know the site. The first resource I want to talk about is how to change styles dynamically. That was an issue that came up when we did an interview a while ago with Karina Barmer. And one of the questions that came up in the comments after the show was, how exactly do we do this dynamically? It turns out it's a little more difficult than you think. Now, Karina posted a comment on our site, the sparklingclient.com site, and she explained how you can do this. But if you want more information in a code sample, you can go to shrinkster.com/10iu, and there on the Lee's Corner blog is code for how to swap out the control skin dynamically. And to give you a little preview of what happens there in that code, go down to the bottom and you'll see he calls app.current.resources.clear, and clears the current resources, and then in a loop calls app.current.resources.add and adds the new control skins, or adds anew the new control resources to form the entire control skin. So that's how you can change a template dynamically. Speaking of Karina, she also has some of, as promised by the way, her new control skins out. And in fact, the new one is called bubbly. It's some of the best stuff being done in Silverlight today, and I recommend you take a look at it. It is at shrinkster.com/10IV. And in terms of just plain making things look great, nobody tops Karina, so it deserves a look. The next one is sort of typical of a lot of resources that are coming out from the community, and these are sort of helpful resources. Here's a problem that I ran into, you may not expect, and so I'm going to post it so everybody can find out what happens. This one, this particular one, is from Bill Reese, who makes Silverlight Games, among other things, and one thing that he found was that he was trying to upload a large file and ran into timeout issues. To find out how that issue came about and how he solved it, you can go to shrinkster.com/10IW. And the Silverlight Cream site and the forums are just loaded with this sort of information. So that's a good point. Presumably you are doing this, but if you aren't, if you're doing programming and you come across problems that you think maybe other people might have, well, take a look, because they have, and they're going to save you a lot of time if you come across the right information. The next article I want to point out is at shrinkster.com/10IX, and it's a discussion of storing secrets in your Silverlight application, and this is something that I've been hammering on in my talks and in my other conversations with people about Silverlight, and that is storing secrets in a Silverlight application is never a good idea. There are a number of problems with this, but if you sit back and you think about it, how are you going to ultimately protect the Silverlight secrets that are in your application, right? Because at some point you need to access those secrets, right? That is the entire point of having those secrets in the first place. But in order to access them, you will have to have the key to unlock those secrets, usually a decryption key or whatever, on the same machine with those. Now remember, these machines are out executing. They are in fact the client's machine. And that means that if you were afraid of attackers, those attackers are going to have your secrets along with any secret keys you may have on your machine. And the ultimate point of the article, and I agree immensely, is you should not store secrets on the local machine, right? Now, another way of thinking about this is, well, take the following. You assume that your Silverlight application will be executed by the Silverlight platform, the Silverlight plugin on a machine, right? But there is no guarantee of that. In fact, it might be something else, like this Silverlight Spy application, an application that downloads and disassembles your application. So if you, for some reason, were relying on code in your page load function to help protect you, guess what? That is not enough protection. That's enough to be said there, but I think it's important to keep that in mind, that you should not be storing secrets in your Silverlight applications. Okay, next. This is an area that interests me a lot, but it has this feeling of novelty. 3D engines in Silverlight. Exciting stuff. The example here is the Balder engine, and it is at shrinkster.com/10iz. Now, it's worth taking a look. This is interesting stuff. There is a sample page so you can see the engine executing, which is cool. But of course, we don't have 3D acceleration yet, which, by the way, is going to be an interesting conversation for the future, because there are rumors the Flash platform may have hardware acceleration. And wouldn't that just change everything if we had hardware acceleration on our Silverlight platform, on our Flash platforms? I think the answer is yes. I mean, we could make amazing graphics and games, and those would be available on the web. It's exciting to think about. We'll see if it actually comes to be. In the meantime, it's interesting to look at this code and see how actual graphics can be created and executed in Silverlight. Next. performance versus refresh rate. If your application is bogging down the machine, you should take a look at shrinkster.com/10j0. There are some things you can do, including tuning the refresh rate, that just might cause your application to execute faster. But you would not have to change anything else in your application. So keep that in mind, store that in the back of your heads, because that could be very useful. The next one. How IE8 enables Silverlight deep linking. And this is on the Synergist blog. Interesting stuff here. After all, the sort of Achilles heel of RIA technologies in general, and Silverlight in specific, is this idea that deep linking is difficult, as well as handling the back and the forward button. Well, it turns out it is fairly straightforward to do this deep linking in the backwards and forwards in IE8. To find out how, go to shrinkster.com/10j1. This is pretty huge. This can help solve a lot of the problems that will keep people away from the RIA platform. Now, it's not a perfect solution. It isn't for all browsers. It doesn't handle dynamic situations. It doesn't handle all situations. And it's bits of extra code that you or somebody on your team has to add. But guess what? It can be done. And that's always a good first step. Next. Increasing size of isolated storage. The isolated storage mechanism, if you've heard of super cookies, that's what we're referring to, is this idea that we can get file streams and write to sandboxed file locations on the machine. Very useful stuff. We can essentially cache data on the machine in binary or XML or whatever format we choose. Mike Snow has a series of articles. The one I want to point you to is at shrinkster.com/10j2. And he talks about the interesting sort of way that you can increase the quota, the amount of space you have to write. Now, you have to ask the user first. And he shows how do you find out what your existing quota is. And then how do you increase it to a new size? It's all very simple. It's all of a couple of lines of code, but oh so important if you have to do it. And then he also has good sort of examples of how to do error catching in this situation when, say, a user says, no, I don't want you to expand my file size. How do you handle that? He shows you how. And that's sort of a taste, I think, of the newest and some of the best information that is coming out from the Silverlight community. This stuff is growing like crazy. It's exciting to be a part of all of this stuff that's happening in the Silverlight world, and to know that it's only going to be getting bigger and bigger.
Thanks, Eric. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this community grows. Eric and I work for Silver Bay Labs, the company Eric founded. If you want to know more about what we do, see silverbaylabs.org. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnatune.com. For more information, see the show notes page.